In a world where zombies, ghosts, serial killers, and vampires all exist, it's Nico, Brian, Mike, and Dustin, and they are all that stand between you and the films that could end the world. Welcome to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Me and Dustin are joining each other tonight. We're going to be talking about the newly released Late Night with the Devil. Kind of a little bit of a controversial movie after some things came out about, you know, AI being used in some of the transition shots. But I got to be honest with you, I really like this movie. Like, the trailer had me hooked from the get-go. It was really refreshing. And we're going to get more into all that, but man, I had a good time. And I just want to throw the disclaimer out there now. Everything that I've read about this usage of AI in the movie was from the graphics team themselves, just fine tuning some images that they made. So it's a slippery slope, you know, from everything I've read about using AI in movies. I definitely don't want artists to lose their jobs over it, but I'm also not going to boycott an entire cast and set that worked really hard to get a really good movie out. Dustin, what are your quick thoughts?
Well, to piggyback off that, first of all, I'm not going to boycott anything over something like that. The only way you can get me to boycott seeing a movie is like two reasons. Number one, someone involved with it is a sex offender. I'm not going to go watch that. Or number two, if Lin Shaye's in it. But anyway,
come on, man.
I'm kidding. So this movie, to me, I'm glad that we're doing this because I feel like we're on opposite sides of the fence here. Not to say that I hated the movie by any stretch of the imagination. I'll say what I told you when I was texting you. I loved the first two thirds of the movie. I mean, absolutely loved it. I was all in. I was like, I can't wait to review this movie. I can't wait to watch it again. But they took such creative chances in the third act that it lost me. I don't think that it ruined the movie, so I still had a good time with it. It's just I didn't like it as much as I wanted to. And this is a movie that from the first time I saw the trailer, I was looking forward to it because I was like, man, what an interesting concept. Like, I love it. I'm going to say his name wrong, but David Dasmalchian, I think I did it okay. I was excited to see him because, you know, he's very recognizable to me because he was one of the Joker's thugs in The Dark Knight. And I recognize him from the Suicide Squad and some other stuff. And so I was like, this looks great. But yeah, it kind of unraveled for me in the third act.
No, I feel you on that. But I watched a YouTube video about, you know, just the ending explained, and it was stuff that I missed that kind of pulled it all together, you know, like Lily.
Okay.
And if you're listening, we're going to spoil it. Lily, you know, kind of said that, once Mr. Riggles gets into you, it's like you're living a dream. And, you know, then it reveals like he was a part of that cult and that he was like, and she was in that cult and she escaped it. Like, I missed that because so much was going on.
Okay.
And I loved it. Man, I really did love this.
I need to watch that.
And like me and you talked about with Brian in the Winnie the Pooh spoiler, you're first watching the movie theater, you're going to miss some stuff just because so much is going on and you're trying to pay attention to everything, but you can't rewind anything. There's no subtitles, stuff like that. So you're going to miss stuff. So I get it 100%.
So to speak to that, absolutely, because I saw this movie Sunday. So this was Easter Sunday. I went to Easter service at church, and then I went and saw a double feature immediately after church. And the two movies I watched were Immaculate and this one. So I texted my mom. I was like, man, or I talked to my mom on the way to theater. I was like, I'm leaving church, but I'm about to go watch two movies about the devil. I don't really feel good about this, but this movie is head and shoulders better than Immaculate by a lot. But I think that by the end of the movie, I'd been sitting in a theater for so long. Don't you dare say a word about Regal's theater seats, but because I know you want to. But no, I'd been sitting in the theater for so long that it's very possible that something went over my head or that I missed something. I do remember her saying that once Mr. Riggles gets inside, he's like, you're living a dream. Like, I remember, or whatever she said there. And I would completely, I'd be okay with that explanation. It's just still the way it unfolded, because it definitely was. It was a very accurate dream sequence, because too often movies portray dream sequences as like one cohesive memory. And that's not how dreams are, at least for me. Like my dream, I could be standing in an airport and then the very next second be playing center field in a baseball game. Like dreams are, they've jumped back and forth so much. But, you know, so I like the way that was shot. It's just, like I told you, there was one line in particular that I wish they would have explored more or explained. When she tells him, or when the devil or the demon told him, we've met before in the trees. The trees weren't a part of that dream sequence. So if the dream sequence was really like a flashback of all these things that Jack had been through, they should have went through the trees and show the first encounter. They didn't do that. And so the whole time I kept waiting, like, okay, where's the trees? Where's the trees? Roll credits. Where are the fucking trees? So,
yeah,
I don't know.
All right. Let's just jump into our positives now. And like I mentioned, we're going to spoil this some, and we're going to get, I've already picked this for my May film review. So we're going to give it a full film review once it comes out on Shudder. Positives, just a new concept. Like, I have never seen any movie like this. I had a great theater experience. Everyone I was with was respectful. We actually had some comfortable seats. Shout out to somewhere not called Regal.
Oh, come on.
I'm just kidding. That was unnecessary. No, but for real, just the look of the film. Like, I love the, like, it felt like you felt like you were in the 70s. You felt like you were an audience member of what everything was going on. And I'm just going to give a quick shout out to a couple of, you know, the cast. Obviously, David Dasmalchian. I think that's how you say his name. Jack Delroy. Basically, the whole concept of what this movie is about is he wants to be number one in late night TV. He wants to beat Johnny Carson. He's fantastic. He's great. And the entire cast was great. But two characters in the film that specifically stuck out to me was Faisal Bazzi as Christo. Thought he was incredible.
Nice. I think it's Christo. Christo is how he's saying in the movie.
That's right. Christo. Yeah. That's right. And Ingrid Torelli as Lily, the demon-possessed girl that you see, obviously. Everyone was great, but they were so creepy, and I loved them. Acting was phenomenal. The scares, it wasn't super scary per se, but it was tense. And there were a lot of shocking moments. Like, towards the end, you know what I'm talking about with the worms ripping his body open, then the giant worm comes out of the guy's eye. Man, the movie shocked me. Like, it didn't scare me, but I was like, holy shit, when that giant worm came out of him. I had a good time with it. Then, it, you know, when, and I love the touch that whenever the show cut, it went to just black and white.
Yeah.
I thought that was such a really nice, it was a nice aesthetic. It looked great. It was well acted. The only, I'll get into my complaints in a minute, but man, I really don't have many complaints. Like, I know I might be jumping the gun here, but I like that better than anything that came out in 23 so far. Like, it's the best movie I've seen in theaters that's recently released in well over a year. Year and a half, probably.
Okay. I'm not going to go that far, but I will heap some praise upon the movie now. David Dasmalchian obviously killed it. I thought, you know, Christo was great. I thought Reese Autry as Gus was a perfect, like, you know, happable, dimwit co-host that, you know, he's just there
for
laughs.
They were so good. They were so good.
Phenomenal. I thought Ian Bliss was a perfect asshole antagonist. You know, like he did a great job because he was so smug. Ingrid Torelli, like you mentioned, she did great as Lily. She's a very promising young actress. I don't think I've ever seen her before, but I have a feeling we'll see her again a lot because she knocked it out of the park. And this is sidetrack, side note, sidebar. I hope this isn't too out of pocket. Does she not look like she could be Lana Rhodes' little sister? Okay, I'll leave it at that. Like, her eyes, something about her eyes, she looks... anyway. Not that I know who Lana Rhodes is, but the look of the movie was great. Like you said, they captured, and I told you this in the text, they captured the 70s so perfectly. It felt like we were watching a 70s TV talk show. And it's funny that you mentioned how it cut to black and white, because I was going to say that too. It really did a great job to drive home that way. You know, when the cameras are rolling and you know, like, what's behind the scenes, because they presented it as like, this is the actual footage from that night. And I don't know for a fact, but I could really believe that back in the 70s, everything wasn't shot in color because color TV was still relatively new. So when they're not on TV, they probably were shooting in black and white. That's just a guess. I could be completely wrong. But that was great. The concept, like we've already touched on, was great. I love having, you know, someone who's so hungry and desperate for ratings and to be back on top that he'll summon the devil on TV for ratings. It's Sweeps Week. Funny thing, when he said Sweeps Week the first time, one of my favorite movies is Money Talks with Chris Tucker and Charlie Sheen. And all I could think was, man, fuck Sweeps Week. But that was great. I love the, like you said, the worm scene. That was a mind fuck because when it first happened, I didn't realize what was going on, which, you know, we saw the spinning clock or the pocket watch and he was hypnotizing. But for them to actually show us, like, we don't know that we've been hypnotized too, quote unquote. And then let's roll the footage. But then when June turned the tables and was like, okay, well, if that's the truth, then play the footage back from what we did. And we see that that shit was still happening. That was like, oh shit. So you mentioned the tension. There weren't a lot of quote unquote scary moments of the movie, but it was very tense throughout. And I will give them props for being one of the least scary devil movies that I've ever watched because I don't like devil movies. So I could do this one. Yeah. This was enjoyable. And I will give them a lot of credit in that third act, where even though I said it lost me, the third act was shot so well. Like, I love how the dream sequence was shot. And then, it was beautiful, like the effects and the cinematography was great. And then I love how it ended. Like, it ended like, we'll be right back or whatever it said. And then at the bottom, you saw the words change to, I can't remember the message. It was something like, he's here, or I don't remember what it said, but
yeah, I can't remember either.
Yeah, but I love how that was done. It's like a lot of positives, and my negatives aren't really negatives. It's just, like I said, creative decisions that I didn't fully understand or think were necessary.
Yeah, I like this YouTube comment on that video I'm going to send you. This guy commented, he sold his soul to the devil, and the devil sacrificed his wife for his fame. Because I didn't even catch on this. His wife died of lung cancer and she never smoked. So he wanted to do anything he possibly could just to become number one talk show host. Man, yeah. I can't wait for this movie to come out on streaming. And another compliment I want to give the film for sure before we move on to our negatives is the girl's devil voice. Like so many times in like horror movies now, or possession horror movies, the possessed voice gets way over the top. It becomes tropey, stereotypical. But it was like, it was still the girl's voice, but it just had a hint of evil and it would go in and out. And I loved her mannerisms, how she would like move her head and look at Jack. God, I loved her. She was so good as the possessed girl.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned that. The voice was great because you could still hear her voice. It just had a devil voice on top of it. It was like a multi-layered track. And the way that was done was great because you could still hear that Lily is there. It's just she's been overtaken. And you mentioned her mannerisms. I'll also shout out the makeup department because when her, you know, skin started to crack and everything, and then it when she was herself again, it went back. Like that was brilliantly done too, and it looked great.
Oh, absolutely. If you want to, we can just jump into our negatives. I'm really looking forward to when the film comes out again on streaming so we can really get a good watch and figure out what the hell really happened at the end, because it goes 0 to 100 real quick. You know, to quote the song, a lot happens at the end. I gave this movie a 9 on IMDb and a 4.5 on Letterboxd because I don't know how many you got into Letterboxd, but I became one of those Letterboxd losers who likes to talk to myself on there rating movies. So I gave it a 4.5, man. Like, I'm really high on this movie. I really like it a lot. The only qualms I really had was like the ending was really abrupt. Like everything, it just came to an end real quick. And that might be okay on another rewatch, but I was like, damn, I could have used 5-10 more minutes of this. That's really my only complaint right off the top of my head.
Yeah. So I gave it a 3.5 on Letterboxd, which, you know, we rate movies on a scale of 0 to 10 on our show. So if you prorate that, I'm at about a 7, six and three quarters to a 7 is where I feel on one watch. So that's, you know, that's not a bad movie.
Not for you.
Yeah, not for me, right? But no, the ending being so abrupt, I hear you. You know what I think, though? I think they left it, they did it like that to give them more meat on the bone if it does well enough to warrant a sequel. Because I could definitely see them, you know, especially in today's age where everything gets a sequel, I could see them continuing the story and showing us the aftermath and the fallout. You know, maybe what happened to Jack after he, after you know, in the closing moments of the show and the aftermath there. Like I said, it was such a tonal shift in how the first two thirds of the movie were and how we saw the last act. If it was a dream sequence, like they shot it, I would have almost preferred that to have been completely in first person because that makes it more believable. That way we as audience don't think that this is actually happening, which, you know, I'm not dumb enough to think that this was actually happening there in the theater there, but, or in the studio, but I would have preferred it to be in first person. That way it's more explained, more obvious the direction they're going. And then, like I said, just, they showed us stuff that we hadn't seen or even been hinted to. We saw stuff that happened in his journey that hadn't been previously mentioned other than hinted when she said that they had met before. And so I'd like maybe some of those details to come out when Lily is talking or when the devil is talking through Lily there. Maybe she throws some of these hints at him. That way when we see it, we're like, oh shit, she mentioned that. So I definitely think that this is a movie that 3.5 on Letterboxd could definitely go up. How many times can I say definitely? I think that it could go up probably a full point upon another rewatch when I can actually appreciate what's happening, what I'm seeing more, and I can observe it better in the comfort of my own home with maybe some subtitles.
Yeah.
So I don't have a lot of negatives. It was just such a tonal shift in how the two thirds were. It threw me off.
No, I get that 100%. And another positive that I want to go back on is when shit starts hitting the fan, the kills are really good.
Yeah.
They're pretty unique. I felt bad for June. I think that's her name, June.
June.
She got killed with her own necklace. Hate to see it. The other guy, I had IMDb pulled up. The crook guy or Carmichael.
Yeah.
Carmichael. God, you're right. He was such an asshole. It's like, man. So he's such a dickhead. Like he had such subtle nuances too. Like after the people got called out in the crowd, like he would go like on commercial break. So they question you? Did they? Oh, so there was a questionnaire, huh? Like I love that character. Like he's really interesting. But the kills are really good too. I got to compliment that as well.
Yeah, and I'll say one other thing that I didn't really like when the devil took over completely and Lily's head split in two like that. I didn't really like the look of that. I think it looked a little, I don't want to say hokey, but a little hokey to me. And then like the electricity going through the lights and stuff. I thought that looked a little cheesy. But other than that, the kills were awesome. And, you know, the Christu death was, we didn't see it on screen, but seeing him puke that black bile was pretty sick. Like that was awesome. And I love how Carmichael was even disputing that. Oh, that's a well-known trick. Been around for years.
Yeah.
And so a lot of positives to it.
Yeah, man, I agree 100%. Man, I feel like the thing that worked the best for me for the movie. And I know you, even though you're like at a 3.5 right now, a 5, man, just the originality. It was so refreshing to watch something different. Mm-hmm. And like last year around this time is when Scream 6 came out. And there's nothing wrong with Scream 6. But God, damn, that's right. Scream 6. It's, you know, it's the 6th one. We've already gotten 5 of them.
Yeah.
And we keep getting this remake. And this is getting rebooted. Alien is getting a sequel. It's like, I'm tired of this stuff, Grandpa. I'm tired of this, Grandpa. I want something new. And finally, the good people at Shudder, shout out to them. They finally gave us something new, and I did really appreciate that. And I hope we keep getting some new stuff like this. I did see, like, I posted this on Facebook and like, some groups I'm in, and just asking if people liked it. And someone commented they wanted to see a prequel to this. I was like, I don't know about a prequel. He's like, yeah, we could explore the cult. I don't know if I really want to see that part, just being honest.
Just because, I mean, there's definitely a lot of meat on the bone there, but I don't think it's necessary, you know, because they showed us enough.
I don't think it would have the charm.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have the charm that this movie had. Like the aesthetic, the look, the talk show aspect is what made it fun. And I loved how, like, every time they'd cut to break, we'd have to, like, you'd be in these really, really, really tense situations. And you're like, but before that, a word from our sponsors. Like, he was,
yeah,
dude. Like, I legitimately think, like, him and, like, Gus could be, like, a talk show host at this point.
I agree.
Like, when Kimmel retires, like, give it to him.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, another thing that I wish they would have done is, I don't remember the name, but they kept mentioning a name. Hey, he wants to speak with you next break. He wants to speak to you next break. And he never spoke with him, but we also never saw him die. Like, he was in the studio there with him. Whoever they were alluding to, we never saw their end. And so that was kind of weird to me, too. Like, they mentioned him a lot, whoever it was. And
yeah, just kind of, I can't even remember that. It's been over a week and a half now since I've seen it. So,
yeah.
But I remember what you're talking about. But Dustin, you got any final thoughts? We can just wrap this up. I'm excited just to do a full review on it, honestly.
Yeah, I am too. And if you listen to this without seeing it, we'll say it like we always do. Shame on you. But I recommend going to see this while it's still in theater, because Immaculate, the other movie I saw Sunday, save your money, wait until it comes to streaming. I'm not saying don't watch it because it wasn't awful, but save your money. Spend your money on this one. This one's an original story that looks great, is well acted, and it's got enough curveballs and confusion in the ending to where you're going to walk away with some questions. So I recommend going to watch it.
And I'll piggyback right off that. If you get the chance to go see it, it's not really showing in many showtimes. Like, if you look at, like, whatever your theater is and their showtimes, it's like one a day now. So I don't know if by the time you listen to this, you'll have a chance, but maybe I can telekinetically tell you right now, go see it in theaters. It's a really good theater experience. I would highly recommend it. But yeah, I really enjoyed the movie. I'm glad, Dustin, you sat down to do this instant reaction with me. It was fun, man. And like you've been doing this year, I want to be in the theater as much as I can, seeing these movies, making content for you guys, because we really appreciate y'all tuning in, valuing our worthless opinions, honestly.
Yeah, we're just guys. We're just fans just like you, but, you know, we appreciate the support.
Absolutely. So we really appreciate you guys' support. Go check out Late Night with the Devil, full review coming in May. Appreciate y'all. Just want to remind everybody.